Thank you to my fellow panelists. Is this picking up? There we go. Maybe if it's on, huh? Since this is a talk about phonotextuality, that's the perfect way to start. But really the perfect way to start is to thank my fellow panelists and Anne for being included in what I heard from her is a 100-year project, so at 37, really pretty young. And I also want to take the opportunity to thank a person who's being here for all these years is one reason I'm here right now, which is Bobby Louise Hawkins, with whom I first spoke about this program in 1985. It's only taken me 25 years to get here, but it's a pleasure all the same. And like Jennifer Scapaccioni, I'm fascinated with the terms both of the week, poet and assassin. My partner Jennifer Moxley is one of the poets this week, so it leaves me the pretty obvious role as a critic. As Frank O'Hara once said, the critic is the orchard, the assassin of my orchards, right? So our perfect couple is formed of poet and assassin in one, and the sparks thereof. But also the terms coterie, infrastructure, and gossip. I was just in New York at a shindig, let's call it, about rethinking poetics, and Jennifer was there as well. And I was on this like completely beige-colored panel called Poetry and the Academy. And people would say, what are you doing here? And I felt embarrassed to say something that boring. So I would say that, but then I'm going to Naropa to talk about coterie, infrastructure, and gossip, and everybody get, they'd be like, oh yeah, finally, that sounds like a reasonable thing to do. all three of those terms, although to be kind of like keyed up and excited by infrastructure is complicated, but coterie and gossip for sure, and in a way infrastructure, because for me, for the purposes of this little chat, I guess the infrastructure I'm most interested in is the technological infrastructure of this miraculous accomplishment that we as a species arrived at circa 1860 and then mainstreamed via Edison and Bell a little later, which is the ability to divide a sound from its source, that is, the possibility of recording sounds. And so the focuses, foci of my work lately has been on something called phonotextuality, which is an attempt to explore the fact of poetry in its recorded form and to think about recording as a too often under or misrecognized form of publication. It's a form of manifestation, too. So I loved it when Lisa said at the beginning here, state your name for the audio archive. That's interesting. Get ready to have been recorded, right? But at the same time, recording technology is curiously prone to disappear. Even more than the documentarian camera, the recorder just sort of like disappears out of the world, and it permits people to say things that they just wouldn't do if they didn't if they were conscious of really being on the record. So, you know, what I'm kind of interested in is the structure of an anecdote. And the anecdote goes back to the, it comes into English from French or modern, or sort of Middle Latin around 17th century, and it basically just means not published, right? And for not, and ecdotos for published. And the sense there strongly is publishable in print, and therefore something that somebody's going to be responsible for. That goes right over to gossip, right? Because gossip is history that nobody wants exactly to be traceable back to them, right? It's a sort of secret history. Like, you always want to know the gossip, but you don't necessarily want it to be known that the gossip originated with you. Because then you're sort of punishable for it, and you're sort of, you're super charismatic and great, but at the same time, you're sort of like legally liable, right? So I'm interested in the fact that the advent of recording technology makes a major new mode of publication that none of us are really quite used to yet. And so we often say things into it that we would never commit with our pen to the printed record. And so that means that the infrastructure of phonotextuality allows a form of gossip that I think is a really rich resource to look into. And it also records what the tape recorders record, or there's been so many iterations of how we record things. This is going straight to a disk drive, but some other models of things have been little wire strings and reel-to-reel tapes and cassette tapes and your MP3 players and all that kind of stuff. But they don't only record speech, they don't only record poems, they also record communities, coteries, groups, movements, tendencies, sets of friends. And so I want to talk to you today about three places where I've heard coterie and its gossip recorded on the infrastructure of phonotextuality. And the first was kind of my audio primal scene. Don't worry, I won't say anything embarrassing. But the poet Paul Blackburn, who with Ann Waldman heroically helped found the Poetry Project in the 1960s, was well, it's sort of legendarily known for the fact that he would lug a very heavy reel-to-reel tape recorder with him just about anywhere he went. He did a lot of his recording at home, but he also would take a unit that weighed next to this probably about 100 times more. It was like a 30, 40-pound unit, set it up, record the readings, and he would do this not only when the big shots were in town, but also just when anybody he thought might be of interest happened to be nearby. So between 1960 and 1970, there's about 250 reel-to-reel tapes that Paul Blackburn made, and they record poems, translations, things off the radio, presidential speeches, but they also record a community around Paul Blackburn, not just the Black Mountain poets that we most frequently associate with him, Duncan, Creeley, Olson, and those guys, but the people who were on the Lower East Side who were forming the kind of complement to the New York School as if it was sort of associated at that time with an uptown movement. This was the downtown movement that went along with it. Just two instances from this. There was a night where Blackburn, Joel Oppenheimer, Leroy Jones, soon to be Amiri Baraka, and a few other people gathered around at Paul Blackburn's place, and they just switched on the tape recorder, and they wanted to talk about work and read work, and they were doing things that were then illegal at the same time, and they felt that whatever they were there to do was worth recording, that there was something to talk about. That same group then reconvened on the evening that LBJ gave his Why We're in Vietnam speech. And because Blackburn couldn't plug right into the radio, you hear the speech and you also hear the people hearing the speech. And these are radical poets, soon to become even more radicalized, intervening in this not quite, if gossip is dismissible, it's not dismissible. It was basically getting their voice into the record along with the pinnacle then of power at its most evilly accomplished. So the Paul Blackburn tapes, which I encountered at the Archive for New Poetry at UC San Diego, which is where I met Bobby, they're there. They're largely inert so far because they haven't been digitized, but they're an enormous archive of valuable knowledge. More recently, last summer, as part of a project I've been working on called The Lipstick of Noise, I made it an explicit discipline to try to listen for voices that I'd never heard before. So maybe I had read a poet, but I didn't know what their voice sounded like because I'd never met them or heard them at a reading, and so I would privilege that. But I especially privileged people whose names I neither knew nor voices. And in the course of doing that, I heard lots of cool stuff, but I got especially fascinated with Andrew Knauer's MP3 blog site called A Voice Box, in which he was gathering the fruits of 9 or 10 reading series in the Bay Area in what he called the recent past. It's really just the last couple of years. And he was basically digitizing all of this stuff that was going on in the Bay Area. And there I was sitting 3,000 plus miles away in Dulles, Dishwater, Orono, Maine, listening to this community sort of manifest and produce itself and publish itself, even though much of what I was hearing was not yet in the form of a print record, because they were debuting work for one another. They were doing what Joanne and her friends were doing in that great space of risk and complicity. They were performing work for one another. You can hear when work is produced into a room like that, you hear the work, you also hear the room. You hear the tone and the timbre of the performer's voice, but you hear the laughs and the giggles and the knowing, you know, acoustical glances and the, I get that, and oh no, I can't believe they said that. You get the community reacting in real time to the work as it's being produced, and it's quite fabulous. Banu has some work in that website. This is partly by way of recommendation, but there was a moment, 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 sound files in, where I started to feel a little embarrassed, because this community had structured itself in such a way that they gave poetry readings, and then right after they would have these like ragingly great after parties in which they would all do really unspeakable things that they would then all speak about till the next poetry reading. And they were doing a tremendous job of producing charismatically gossip about one another. And then this gossip started to freak everybody out, and they felt like maybe it's displacing the rigorous poetics that we should be talking about. And then so people started writing poems about how like the orgies at the after parties were interfering with their ability to do poetics rigorously. And it was sort of like sweet and interesting and horrifying, and I felt a little embarrassed to be listening in. And that moment of embarrassment was what sort of showed me that something was happening there You know, like, this is more than just a record. This is a fabulous form of gossip. You can hear something similar if you want to listen back to the early 90s. All those ear-in recordings that are up on Pennsound have a lot, you know, the introductions and the chit-chat between. There's a lot of really good gossip buried in that stuff. You could know more than, like, the old school if you just sat there and listened to MP3 files for a while. It's pretty amazing. The third resource I would have to mention here, because it'd be stupid not to, is the Naropa audio archive itself. That's like what, almost from the beginning, right? Yeah. And all of it freely available. Not always easy to search, but once you get into that material, you hear the talks, you hear the classrooms, you hear things say things to one another, because we're sort of lured and tricked into the idea that we're immediately here together. And though we're a large group, we're all really here together, right? And so I could say something really scandalous and it would just be entre nous, except for the fact that I had to state my name for the audio archive before I began speaking. Like, so now I've had to sign off on this discourse and be responsible for it in some ways. So, like, I heard really good stuff in New York. So did Jennifer. We have good gossip, but I won't talk about it here. Just like, yeah, I won't quote that here. So I guess this is in a way to say, to celebrate this this infrastructure that allows a peculiar fusion of gossip and coterie. When I was listening to Anne talk about the resources that need to be extracted and the human labor that needs to be exploited in order to produce a digital archive, I want to celebrate it with a due acknowledgement of the total complicity in all of this antagonism outside this room. At the same time, I can't not celebrate it, and I can't not recommend to you to be, as Valerie said, try to be all ears in the world of noise and gossip. I want to say one other thing. I'm here for the week, and this is the only work I had to do, so I'm like basically kicking back. But I have a recorder, and anybody who feels like reading something into it with me or telling me a piece of gossip into it, just find me, and I'd be happy to do that, and maybe it'll end up on Third Factory or something. All right, thank you.
That's so cool. Thank you.